welcome back to the Shed of Basketball Truth. It is Studio 3 for Ball Don't Lie Australia, brought to you, of course, by Dr. Electrician and supported by a local card shop of Woolloongabba. Awesome show planned for this week. We've got some NBL 1 North signings. Of course, some Opals news and some of it sad with, of course, the GOAT. But big takeaway, of course, being they've qualified. We'll move it on from there. NBL, last round. The last round. It is here. And it's spicy. The ladder looks good. And look, we'll shoehorn just a little bit of Wemby love in there too. But and then, of course, some local card shop at Woolloongabba Crackham. But I need someone to bounce all this conversation off. And he's back. He's back. We've had him on a few times before. He's pretty good. We like him. Matt Macca McIntyre, mate, welcome.
Thanks, mate. I'm always glad to be the, not the first option, but the second or third I'm happy to go with.
Yeah, look, we were a bit desperate. Thanks for jumping on again. Always appreciate it, especially when it's that last-minute call. You're always so positive and, you know, I was sort of convinced that you thought you were option one, but maybe not. Maybe that slipped through, but that's okay.
Nah, I'm used to being the third option in the corner, mate. So, you know, you run the plays and I'll just sit there waiting for my time.
Which is the absolute opposite of when we're actually on the court playing basketball. You're the one out there running the point, telling people where to go, and I'm sitting on the bench waiting for my moments to, you know, to have my go. And, you know, happy if they don't necessarily come, because you're just putting on a gorgeous show out there on the hardwood, which is lovely to see. But it has also been a minute since we've been on the court together.
Oh, there's a little side note. Yeah, I think age is catching up with us, mate. We do our best work off the court now, so it's there's no aspirations for me to play back-to-back games on a weekend anymore. So, I'm more enjoying watching and commentating with you when I get the chance.
Yeah, look, it is good fun. Love talking basketball. Speaking of which, let's get in and talk some. The Mitsubishi Motors NBL North is starting to heat up with some signings. A lot of the big ones have come through. I hear there's still a couple of potential big names, specifically in a northern area, if you will, very north. Darwin, they seem to have a couple of things coming down the pipe soon, but they've re-signed Deborah George, which, look, on his night, he can blow a team out of the water. Salties did see there was a few nights last season, especially when, look, Deb is always going to get his shots up, whether they're dropping or not, and sometimes that hurt them. But when they're dropping, geez, look out. So he is potentially a huge signing for them. If he can get back to that more consistent stuff, which we have seen from him in the past.
Yeah, and he gets going, like you said, Mal. He gets pistol hot. So I think he, from recalling last season, I remember he gave the Capitals a bit of a bit of trouble in that second half when they played them up there in the back end of last season. So he's one guy that, yeah, you're right, get back to some consistent form and he can put some numbers up, that's for sure.
Yes, for sure. On his night, look out. But those shots are always going to go up. So, look, if he can get in his face and, you know, disrupt, you know, go for it. But, yeah, on his night, yowzers, yowzers. But speaking of up north, Townsville, they have signed Harry Morris. Harry Morris is coming over. He spent the season with the Illawarra Hawks in the DP spot over there. So look for him to be a worthy inclusion to the Townsville team. Who we got a little bit closer to home with the Northside Wizards, of course, re-signing Alice O'Driscoll, who's been a really solid piece for them over the last couple of years. And look, a little bit of a move from down your way with Ariana Mora moving from Gold Coast over to the Spartans, mate.
Yeah, I saw that earlier today, and I thought, oh, that's going to be a big hole to fill for Gold Coast, because she was 20 and 10, easy a night performer for them, and carried them. Fortunately, missed a lot of games early in the season, but that back end of the season, she was an absolute star for them. I think she was the MVP, was she not? Fantastic player. So Spartans got themselves a good one there.
Yeah, well, speaking of good ones up there in Townsville, they've signed Alex Fowler, local, who's having a rookie season with the Caps, and obviously Caps aren't having the greatest season, but she's putting together a good season for them in the WNBO with averaging just under 11 points and just under 6 rebounds a game, shooting about 35% clip from three as well. So, look, she's going to come in, and Townsville have an uncomfortable situation there. They're going to try and replace Steph Reed as best they can. That's tricky with her going to Frankston, but Alex Fowler coming back will definitely help them in a lot of ways. Rockets moving over to them. Back on the men's side of the draw, Sean Benaki is going to return for the Rockets, but Rockets are losing Maker. He's heading up to the Salties, where we started this NBL1 North chat all about. Look, big solid piece. Salties, you get the feeling they're really going after this chip this year, mate.
Yeah, well, them signings, they're building to something, and it's a tough road trip to go up to Darwin and play there. So if they can solidify and make it hard to win when teams coming in there, and then play a little bit better when they're on the road, they're a dangerous team, and they've got a lot of players that can really stand out this coming year. So be exciting to see. I think last year I probably went a year early. I was tipping Darwin to do a lot better than they did, but I'll probably have them in my tips to do well again this year, but so hopefully we'll see that come to fruition.
Yeah, look, and as always, gamble responsibly, and look, there are also other tipsters with possibly a better track record out there. Just saying, but not saying I am one of those tippers, but I'm just saying if you're out there. Right, we'll be talking NBL1 North, of course, for ages here. But Opals heading over to the women's side of the draw. Obviously, the WNBL is on a break, FIBA break, as the Opals have gone over to Brazil and just monstered the competition over there. They've had an absolute enormous little tourney over there to qualify, which they have done, which is fantastic. Ezzy in the MVP. MVP, and of course All-Star 5, those sorts of things, all great. But LJ, from all reports, she was effectively offered a place in Paris. I said, no, this will be the last time that she'll wear the green and gold. And, mate, that's a sad day.
Well, it is, but I think everyone is collectively praying that it's going to be like a Johnny Farnham type thing where it's like, it's the last tour, and then she'll just roll it around for every big tournament. But, yeah, it's I think a little bit different when we're talking about, singing, performing compared to performing as a basketballer like she does. Sometimes the body just, she probably feeling like it can't go around again. And what a performer, though. Like, she could probably make a decision 12 weeks out from the Olympics and put on the kicks and go out there and give you high performance, high class stuff. So she is the GOAT of Australian basketball, with men or women. She's our most decorated basketballer by far. And in the conversation when you talk about, like, you know, will anyone get those sort of accolades again, or have that type of career, that many Olympics, you know? It's hard to imagine someone being able to perform or to perform at the level that she did for so long.
That's just the
recapping,
thing.
You know,
like, when you actually Google Lauren Jackson and like awards and things, it's a novel. It is an absolute novel, and it has chapters. Like, there's her Europe stuff. There's her Australian stuff. There's the American stuff. There's her international stuff, and it, like, just has won at every level. So, yeah,
absolutely. And like, she, you know, she played in the 2000 Olympics as a 19-year-old. Going up against Lisa Leslie and Cheryl Swoops and, you know, those superstars of the American women's team, and absolutely gave them buckets as a 19-year-old. That's insane.
She won me over at the, not that Olympics, but the next Olympics. Because don't get me wrong, I watched that. I loved LJ in that Olympics, but it was the Penny Taylors, there was the Brondellos, the Timsies, the ones who'd been there a little bit longer, who, you know, I was just enamored by at that point. But LJ at the following Olympics, I want to say Greece, won me over. I think that was the one where she had the, like, that, you know, peroxided style blonde hair and all those sort of things. It was just dominating on the court, but then would show up to every single Boomers game. Like,
yeah, just face that, painted,
all that stuff, like in the crowd with a couple of other Opals. They weren't always all there, but it just felt like LJ was, and it was that kind of thing where it was just so relatable as someone who's, you know, played at that, you know, had those junior road trips and different things, because that's what we would do. We would always, you know, be there watching, you know, watching the girls' teams, the boy, you know. Boys would go and watch the girls, and then come back and watch the boys. Like, it was just that thing. We would just support each other, and it was that just that relatable basketball thing. That even though she was dominating everywhere she was going, she was, you know, didn't see herself as being too big to just sit down and support. And that said everything.
And that was a tangible quality that I see in probably our two greatest basketballers ever, in Lauren Jackson and Andrew Gaze, is that they absolutely evoke Australian passion for the team. And like, you hear it when Gazy talks in commentary, just how excited he gets talking about basketball, especially Australian basketball. And it's the same with Lauren Jackson, who's not as over the top, but like you said, you'd see her at every game the men's were playing, face paint, supporting. In her injuries, supporting the Opals when she couldn't play. Just absolute superstar. My favorite moment was her pulling out Lisa Leslie's weave in the 2000 Olympics, and then Michelle Timms absolutely giving it to the American team. And I've clearly got that game still in my head. It was an absolute ripper. So that was some of the favorite moments. And then some of her moments for the Seattle Storm as well. MVP, winning a couple of chips, and then getting a finals MVP as well. Like, yeah, she was absolutely phenomenal.
Yeah, and look, we might see the next LJ. We might not. It's hard to think we kind of will, because she had all the skills and at such a young age and had such a prolonged career, and this, you know, this comeback of hers, so at such a late age, realistically, for a basketballer at that level, has been absolutely phenomenal. And it almost feels as if the next generation's, you know, got a little bit of a taste, which, you know, awesome, fantastic.
Yeah, I have confidence we'll see someone. We have a good production line of Australian female basketballers, and the popularity you see at local juniors is phenomenal. So I have confidence that we'll see players, you know, getting to play in the similar leagues and get similar accolades. But geez, I don't know who'll be able to put up as many as her. It's almost It's a resume that just might not be achievable. But yeah, I think our production line is very decent. I think we're going to be strong in the women's basketball as we have been for the last 10 years. And definitely for the next 10 years, we'll continue to contest the medals and hopefully gold medals as well.
Fingers crossed. All right. Thank you, LJ. If it truly is the last time in a green and gold, thank you. It's just that simple. Definitely thank you. All right, NBL though. Final round. It's looking a little bit it's looking a little bit spicy. In one of the
closest... Not even I would bet on this, Mal. There's so many different variables. The only thing that's locked away is first and second, basically. They're Melbourne and Perth on top. They have the option that they could rest their heels. And, you know, obviously for the fans, don't want to see players being rested. But I think this is the time of year where you may see it. But then pretty much from third to seventh, we are in for one hell of a last round because some of those teams still have two games to play. Others are going to need to see games to go their way to slip into the play-in. It's going to be very spicy, as you said.
For sure, for absolute sure. And look, let's start with talking a little bit of Brizzy Bullets here as well. If anything, they've got a really simple equation. For them, it's actually really simple. When they go to the Breakers, and you know that they go into what could possibly very well be Tom Abercrombie's very last game. Was it on the New Zealand floor anyway? And I believe Sparks Arena. Because he of course has announced his retirement from the NBL effectively the end of the season. They go in there, basically they've just got to win. Things then get tricky for them otherwise. I've run the numbers on different scenarios, situations. Basically, if they want to be in control of their own destiny, they beat the Breakers. It's that simple. If they can't beat the Breakers, realistically, they need the Kings to lose to the 10th place Southeast Melbourne Phoenix in their final game on their home court for the season. So Kings won't be at Kudos. They'll be down in Melbourne. And, yeah, mate, Kings are your team.
They are. And it's been a set. Look, I'm pretty sure about three podcasts ago, last time I was on, we were discussing a bit about the Kings, and I said it didn't look good at the start of the year, but they looked like there was promise and they were just working through things. They haven't worked through it. It still looks very, very uneasy. They're not the chemistry's not there for them. If the Kings can win against Southeast Melbourne, which they lost to them in their last game, Mitch Creek gave him buckets. I think he had 30 odd points. If the Kings can get over the top and get a win, they're knocked out in the first round of the finals anyway. So there's not a lot of great hope moving forward. I mean, they've got a very good team on paper, but I just can't see it happening. And it's the last game of the season. They didn't look really. At times, they looked aggressive and like they knew they needed to win against the Hawks in their last game, on the weekend. But at other times, they came out slow. They came out missing defensive matchups. They let Tyler Harvey, which is the number one key against the Hawks, don't let him hit early shots. They let him hit some early shots. They gave him some open threes, knocked him down, got his confidence going, and just things like that just really show you that they're not really switched on. So I can see, I reckon it's 50-50 whether the Kings can beat the last place Southeast Melbourne Phoenix. So I'm pretty confident Bullets go through. They're playing well. They've finished the season well. They deserve it. So I'll back your team, Mal, in the Bullets. I think they'll go through and they'll probably stay. I reckon they beat the Breakers and they'll stay where they are on the ladder. So they're sitting in fifth at the moment. So, yeah, I can't see them moving because the Hawks have a game in hand. So if the Hawks can be one, they still stay ahead. So, yeah, I think Brisbane finish fifth.
All right. Well, look, Bullets still have to get over the Breakers, which that's going to be spicy. It's going to be a spicy Friday game. And basically, yeah, like I said before, they win, they're in. They don't. They have an uncomfortable 24 hours, and it's going to basically hinge on that Kings game, which, look, which Kings are you going to get? Are you going to get the... Are you going to get the Kings that actually rallied? You know, only a couple of weeks ago and seemingly gave people hope and all that kind of stuff.
When they beat Melbourne. Yeah. Don't forget that. They beat Melbourne 4 weeks ago and you thought it's turning around now. It's for pennies finally dropped.
Yeah.
But then they came out and lost to the Hawks. They lost a game to Adelaide or two games. I think they lost their last two games to Adelaide.
It hasn't been... Hasn't been pretty. For a coach that apparently has another season on his contract. So we'll see. Look, you know, but to be honest, I think you see everything you need to see when you look at their bench during games. There's no energy. They're really flat. It doesn't look like a positive bench situation. You know, whereas you got a team like Illawarra, they're chock-a-block full of belief. They're up, they're cheering, they're supporting their guys. Sydney's just, yep, cool. I'm going to sit here, take a breather, because I'm going to be in a few minutes. You know, because that's just how it seems to go. Two or three subs at a time. And
yeah. Well, it is interesting because, you know, you could flip those two teams around because the start of the year, Kings came out, they had a couple of good wings and they were coming off back-to-back championships and you thought, oh, those first two rounds where they won their games, this is going to be their season again. The Hawks, on the other hand, they spent the first five rounds trying to get a win. They got rid of their coach. Slowly some changes started to occur and now it's the complete opposite. The Kings don't have any momentum. It looks a little bit disjointed. Players on the bench not really looking that involved. And the Hawks are up and about, slapping hands. And another case example is Perth, man. Like, how, you know, Perth started slow. They got it rolling, you know. They got their they got a couple of key players back, but they're up and about. And good luck going to Perth and winning a finals game. That crowd was absolutely rocking the other week. That's probably got to be the hardest place to play basketball in Australia is going there to a Red Army and especially trying to win a finals game. So, finals are going to be spicy.
And it's crazy to think too, was it the third round, fifth game? Red Army
oh,
was...
Oh, really? Job?
Yeah. Red Army was booing the Wildcats on their home court. And then since then, just absolute switch has been flipped. And look, for mind in that sense, like obviously, you know, there's going to be a lot of positive talk for Tatum and some others. But I think really has to be for mind is going to be that coach of the year. Might not break that way, gamble responsibly, obviously. You know, that tip might not get across the line. But in my personal opinion, you know, come in with the system, it hasn't worked, he's had to coach and tweak it around, and now he's got all these pieces absolutely balling and has done so for the majority of the season. They've found their way to second place. For mind, that's, you know, that's your coach of the year with Vickerman as a close second.
Yeah. And we had that discussion on the last podcast I was on where we were talking who's your MVP. And I think I was saying Vickerman then. I've changed, man. I think it's really for sure. And they were talking, would he make the season with the start that they had? Mm-hmm. So crazy turnaround and how good he's got them going. And, you know, the unlocking, obviously, Bryce Cotton, who is – the leading point scorer in the league and just makes your team otherworldly when he's on. He was obviously the key, but you're right. His coaching had to be able to unlock him and get him the looks that he needs and be able to get him going in these games. And he's been able to do that. So, yeah, full credit to him. I'm with you. I'd like to see really get the Coach of the Year award. I think it's been a great effort. And Bickerman in a close second, Tatum as well. He's had a huge turnaround. Yeah, there's some good candidates there, but I'd go with Really.
Yeah. All right. Well, that kind of almost wraps us up here on the last round of the NBL season. The only thing I'll leave you with is the question mark where we pretty much started is Wildcats and United. What teams are they going to put out? What teams are they going to put out over this next few days? Because that's really going to have a little bit of a sway around positioning, because obviously Hawks have Wildcats and then United. And look, United have form. A couple of years ago, they sent Deli to the dentist instead of sending him to Tassie, and it backfired pretty quickly for them. So will both the Wildcats and United take those lessons from the past and really try and turn that around? Or will they try and rest? Will they try and, you know, really more push it as those, you know, those role players, those bench guys to get minutes and, you know, go into the season with some positive in that regard? Or, you know, that's just some extra bacon bits for thoughts on the NBL final round here.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you're right, though. They both got two games. Perth got Hawks and I think Jack Jumpers, and then Melbourne have Taipans and Hawks. So the Hawks have two tough games against the top two teams. But do Melbourne and Perth rest some players? Most undoubtedly, it's 50-50, but yes, they probably do. There'll be players with injuries. Players play with injuries all year. They'll be wanting to rest up before the final. So if there's anyone that's even, you know, 70%, 75%, they probably get rested. A guy like Deli, I reckon you get him a rest in one, at least one of the games. Same with Chris Goulding. You probably get him one game off. Call it what you want. They can, you know, I know they say that they try not to, you know, you don't want players having load management, but you can say they tweaked their ankle in practice, and what are you going to say about that? So I think there'll be those type of older veteran star players who will get a rest. But everyone else, and that's the same for Perth, you probably get Bryce Cotton a game off. Doolittle has been a bit banged up during the year. Alex Saar is coming. I don't even think he's back yet, so they might get an extra few games off. But everyone else has got to play, Tasmania all the way through to Sydney, or you need all your players on deck playing well. So, yeah, she's going to be good.
Very spicy. Cannot wait. Cannot wait. It's just going to be a fantastic final round, and very much so looking forward to it. But before we get into some Crack'em, there was a stat line that really stood out for me today. probably stood out for a lot of people, if we're being honest. But young Mr. Wembanyama, 27 points, 14 rebounds, and got the triple-double, not with assists, but with 10 blocks. Just absolute spice.
Who do you reckon was the last player to have 10 blocks in a game, Mal? I reckon I can get it. I don't know the answer 100%, but I think I know who it was.
Who you got? Hit me.
JaVale McGee. I know he had a triple-double with 10 blocks when he was at the Wizards. I think he was the last player to do it.
Possibly.
We'll have to research that one.
Yeah, yeah. We definitely will research better next time.
yeah. But that's an incredible, like, 10 blocks in a game. Mental I would stuff. Be lucky to have 10 blocks over my whole career playing basketball, 20-odd years. So that's just insane. But when you're 7 foot, was he 7'4"? And those long arms, he probably would do that a few times over his career. You can mark that. He'll have a couple of these games. That's incredible, though.
Which is scary, but it also doesn't feel like it's cap. Like, that feels like you hear something like that and match it with his play, And, you know, his ability to get up and down the court so quickly and his ability to close that gap between himself and players and just do this, literally just block shots. Like, he's just so big and tall, but he has those quicker feet than, you know, a lot of your more traditional, if you will, bigger guys. So, yeah, look, it's a huge stat line. Love to see a big guy who can move, hustling, and 10 blocks, absolutely massive. But let's do some local card shop of Woolloongabba Crack'em.
You're listening to the Ball Don't Lie Australia podcast.
All right, mate. It's Crack'em time. So you're obviously not a stranger to it. You're certainly not a Taylor Swift fan when it comes to the Super Bowl. You don't need the rules explained, but I will for everyone else at home. What a game too, by the way. You know,
wasn't it?
And I have to ask, did you have purple Gatorade?
I did not. So I was hearing, though, that I can't remember what the term they use in America, but for those, you know, type of bets and things like that, that you could bet on the Gatorade, whether Usher would take his shirt off or not, which if you picked he did, you won. How long the national anthem went for, because my auntie Reba McEntire was doing it. She's not my auntie, but we share the same last name. So, but yeah, longer than 90 seconds. Explained it.
Yep.
Yeah, longer than 90 seconds, then you won it there as well. Yeah, there's some fancy bets going on. But no, mate, I didn't have a bet on it. And I would have gone with, not purple, I would have gone orange. I would have thought orange Gatorade, but hey, I would have been wrong.
Look, I actually thought red. Yeah, but being the Chiefs. But, you know, that's all right. It's all right. That's
grape is the best flavor. Purple Gatorade is the best by far. So maybe they were just, they weren't going with colors. They were going with the best flavor. So it's a smart choice. I reckon it would have been odds on favorite.
Maybe. I'm a Powerade guy. So, yeah, look, for better or worse, I'm on Team Powerade. But, yeah, look, congratulations to all the Swifties out there, including my my lovely wife, who sent me just a delightful message. Because as we've talked about before, like, she's sat through some NFL games and stuff, but like, her and a lot of other Swifties who are out there actually sat and watched this game and a few others throughout the season as well. And she sent me a message afterwards, and I'm going to quote here, is this why people watch sports, you know, for these last 7 second wins in overtime? Short answer, yes. Yes, that's exactly right. And like I said to her, not everybody jumps on a bandwagon, and then in that same year that they jump on that said bandwagon, I'll get taken to the holy land that is a Super Bowl victory if you're an NFL fan. But, you know, hey, go you and all the other Swifties out there. And
well, I just hope they have the same luck as most other supporters of teams, in that if the first year you win, you experience 10 years of misery and not making the finals after that. So
at least 10 years, even
the ledger out.
But we both know that's not going to happen. With Mahomes and everything they've got there, it feels like they've got something.
Probably be there
spicy
again next year.
Yeah. It might not win the whole thing, but they've definitely got the pieces to, you know, go back at least some of the way. Unlike, you know, my team, the Cowboys. But anyway, let's move on to some positive things. All right, mate, we've got a pack, four pack here of Panini Prisms from 2022-2023 season, brought to you, of course, by the local card shop of Woolloongabba. I've got four cards for those of you who haven't played before, the T-Swift fans of the world. I'm going to read the back of the card. I need you to guess the player on the front. Whenever I get to that player's name, I'm just going to say the word somebody. All right, four cards. Let's do this. First one. Here we go. The NBA isn't middle school. You don't need to be cool to fit in. That's great news for somebody who is the opposite of cool on the court. Always sporting a red-hot shooting hand, the Clippers guard is ready to light up the scoreboard with a string of net-ripping darts. Have you got there, mate? Clippers, number 5 for the Clippers. One of those great guys off the bench who'll just come in, couple of minutes of this guy, just, oh, could be absolutely, could go in flago for you in quick succession. I believe he's now playing for the Grizzlies.
Luke Kennard.
Luke Kennard, there he is. We got there in the end, mate. Got there in the end. All right.
Can get hot. You are right. He's can absolutely microwave it up, but can put up a bagel as well.
Oh, yes, so. Can. And, hey, I'm rarely wrong, especially, you know, when I do the editing. All right. Card number 2. Somebody doesn't – funny. Somebody doesn't toe the line in Portland, at least not when it comes to shooting threes. The guard has range for days and is more likely to swish a 30-footer than sink a shot with the tip of his sneakers barely beyond the arc. Defenders have to pick him up at midcourt, and even then, he finds a way to connect with a hand in his face. No longer in Portland.
Dame Lillard?
Dame time. It is in.
Yeah.
It is, of course. Damian Lillard. We've got some spice here, mate. This is a Fractur style green card. Numbered as well. Number 2 of 25. Okay, let's get into it. Card number 3, with slippery moves and a knack for getting the opponent into a poor position, somebody is extremely talented at getting to the stripe. After his first 4 seasons, the guard already has the 8 most free throws, 1,480, in franchise history. Dirk Nowitzki's all-time record of 7,240 shouldn't be considered safe at the Mavericks.
The only guy that gets to the line on a regular basis have to be Luka, would it?
It is Luka.
Yeah. Luka. Mr. Doncic.
Luka Doncic. So number 2 of 25 card there, mate. It's a spicy,
nice little card.
Yeah, nice little pack so far. And the next card is nice as well. All right. In final card, in a head-to-head battle with 76ers point guard Allen Iverson, somebody registered a triple-double and guided the Suns to a runaway 116-87 victory on March 30, 2005. Phoenix's 2-time league MVP needed only 27 minutes of floor time to rack up. Steve Nash it is.
Oof, what a pack.
Yeah, right.
That's silky.
Yeah. Was it our weakest card, if we're looking at Hall of Fame classes, would probably be Luke Kennard, obviously.
Yeah.
But, hey, you know, someone at least, you know, even a more casual fan has probably heard of Luke Kennard. So, and obviously all the rest have, well, obviously the other 3 Hall of Fame first ballots for absolute sure. Luke Kennard, he's got his work cut out for him, but you never know. You never know. He might.
He's still applying his trade. Exactly. He might have a big back half of his career. You never know.
Indeed. And look, you know, a player with his kind of hand that can get really hot like that and come in off the bench could get a run with a couple of championship teams later in life and get himself a groundswell of support and those sort of things. So stranger things have been known to happen, mate. But, mate, that's going to wrap up local card shop of Willem Gabba Crackham. And, geez, you got to be feeling a little bit like a Swiftie fan here, mate, because you've shown up here and you've taken all the chocolates, done it all.
Luke Kennard,
You had to hesitate a little bit there, but everyone else, you know, knocked
out. The cue there was moving on to Memphis. That really sort of made it gettable. But yeah, no, I'll take it. That's 5 for 5 in my books.
Yep, even if it is only 4, but that's fine.
All right, mate. Well, 4 for 4.
Always remembers the wins a little bit better than they actually were, right?
That's it. By tomorrow, it'll be 7%.
All right. Thanks again for joining. It's always a pleasure.
Yeah, thanks for having me, mate.
All right, that is going to wrap us up here for Dr. Electrician, of course, servicing all our electricity needs in the Brisbane and, of course, North Adelaide areas. And, of course, big thank you once again to the local card shop of Woolloongabba for their ongoing support of our Crack'em segment. But that is going to wrap us up here. Please do remember to give those 5-star reviews if you are listening on a podcast service that allows such things. But in the meantime, until you're listening to us again, remember that ball don't lie.
It never does.